Well, I want to again thank you for participating. As generation X most affected by what we're doing here in Juneau, and I think you did a great job, and I'm glad that you got a chance to testify before you get on to your airplane and head back to your communities and back to school. But you did a great job, and I want to again thank you for testifying. Okay, by the way, Senator Blair is my guest. Thank you, Senator Blair.
Thank you. And you're the chairman as well, is right. And look, what is the capital of choice in schools? The small bus there for a while, the Jews, is that so popular? I think, they're available, example of this, but I think that, as far as I'm seeing in high school, is that it's not high school. So what I see primarily is the use of vapes and e-cigarettes, and that's true. However, there's kind of vapes and e-cigarettes. Chew and smokeless tobacco, it's the main thing, it says on the bottle that this informs certain general prohibits, or should use these or whatever, but with e-cigarettes, there's generally no warning to it, and I think that's what I see most in terms of things that I wouldn't expect it, so I think that's what's scary is for me and for Joe.
And also, tobacco itself already can be acquired easily, so these aren't being used. Kids now have been educated through the care program and such that tobacco is bad for you and nicotine is bad for you. So they don't really use vapes because they claim to not have tobacco or nicotine in them. So it's supposedly safe. But if they claim that without pills, what do they have anymore?
Yeah, and then Joanna, you don't have said you that, that the spice, which is from nicotine, anyway, that's part of the problem too, that the package isn't labeled harmful to your health. And I believe that's why some kids do that. Do you agree that's another problem in your areas as well?
And one thing that I found serious, people are using their devices to, yes, use the vape oil and do drugs and stuff like that, but then also we see other things on the internet, people using hash oil, the natural opioids, and stuff like that, and then that provides a whole new danger, and we could be possibly vapes. You should go down to the civil act being reported.
I was going to add that we also know that many cases of Ebola spice, just because teachers have also been very good about educating us that spice will kill you pretty much soon.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony. Thank you. Next, I'd like to invite Steve Mates, who's in the keynote LIO, to provide your testimony.
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the Chamber of Commerce, and I'm speaking to you today as a smoker and a member, and as a state shopper. For years in the I smoke less than 3 packs a day, farming and tobacco smoking. I drive home 13 gallon patch, bill, taking the number and taxi puncture. My hobby is something to be offered back. Well, my girl was a night quick. From the beginning, my ability to perform civil activities has improved. My first thought of the same smoker's team was a smoker for my own board. A powerful member of my shop of the bed, so I always try to get work online. I would say that money and being bankers are not covered by the shop. Some covers get off the back. I also wish I were to TMA after 5 months. I hired another 4 years to help me pay borrow and city taxes, brick and mortar, storefront overhead, and having an employee and a cost associated with him. And to know the prices at online levels was difficult but doable. I helped literally hundreds of consultants get off the tobacco products, all of them telling me about feeling better and saving money. I'm a retired management operator, was way too busy running the store, so I sold in the inventory, and left this was a long time by that time. The prices went up, and a store that was on a peninsula asked me over another day stop, and I did. Now I have 2 employees working full time, there is no more free time. I pay all the state, the borough, and federal taxes. The profit margins are very small, however. Proposed on the healthier alternative to smoking would put this store out of business and do full-time employment. Hopefully, they keep their products and make devices online. I would hope that SB133 be amended to remove all reference and make her products from the bill. Thank you for taking the time this evening to listen to Alaskans about this proposed legislation.
Thank you very much. announcements, I'm going to go to the Ingress LIO for Mark Stonekey with the American Lung Association. This is Isaac Huell in Anchorage, Ohio. Committee is called back to order. We'll go ahead and continue with the caller from Slobodna, Patricia Patterson.
Good evening. My name is Patricia Patterson. I'm a business owner. I'm a graduate of Chicago with DIY.
I'm going to be able to do that.
This time it's important that you're going to learn the computer or the technical knowledge to use the computer. You can't find a hard copy form or pay your taxes or cash your taxes.
Thank you.
for dealing with prescribing this stuff.
Thank you. Basically, my name is Karen Brito. I'm 30 in Fairbanks and retired. Number one, I was working with the Alaska American Cancer Society and Cancer Action Network. And I'd like to speak in favor of the medical facts legislation that you have before you. Just a little historical perspective, trying to remember. I was involved in the 1997 initial tax increase that we had. And I would remember what an amazing bipartisan effort that was. Senator Berkshire, Mayor Banks, and company, led that effort along with the public health community. It resulted in us having the highest tax in the nation at the time. And it had a dramatic effect on consumption, and youth consumption in particular, to the point where we have driven our youth smoking rates down by 70% since that period of time. So we have a great track record of using the taxation for the public health purposes rather than the revenue purposes. And I think we as tobacco advocates would like to see us making virtually no money on tobacco products, because we would like to see people on that chart request. This legislation takes the tax from $3, and we would still not be the highest in the nation at this point. We would be around 7th or 8th or something like that in the nation. And so I think, altogether, I think the state makes about $100 million on tobacco and alcohol taxes today, and this would bring in more, but again, the consumption issue is the focus. On e-cigarettes, I've been educating myself on e-cigarettes over the last several months because it has exploded in our community of Fairbanks and the Ventures. The taxation proposal is 75% of the wholesale price, so don't be confused, but it's 75% of the retail price, and to go to 100%. It does not outlaw e-cigarettes, it does not outlaw cigarettes, it does not outlaw other tobacco products, except it taxes them, as we have taxed tobacco for many years. And if you tax tobacco, as we currently do, which is the point of tobacco uses the nicotine, and if we tax marijuana, which we're about ready to do, why would we not tax e-cigarettes, which can be a medium for delivery of those student activities? So I'd like you to make sure that the e-cigarettes are included in the tax, and that we begin to begin to view that activity and the people who choose to do it if they feel it is in their own best interest, but that we do make sure that kids do not start using e-cigarettes, because the numbers right now are showing that many more kids are using e-cigarettes than are using tobacco and fuel consumption.
Question.
So is that
information from the behavioral risk survey?
Yes. Yes. And there is no baseline for that this year. So this is the first year that they've had data on e-cigarettes for 18%. So I hope they'll pass it again and see how that's going.
Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you. Thank you. So on the issue of do you use e-cigarettes? And I'm working a little bit with Richard and kids who have bought it. And one of the things we learned in the state right now here was that the child or the young person is under age and is in the cigarettes, they can get a prescription to in order to get these things and order the stocks on it. I'm asking, is that a way that we can see a lot of people can use that product in order to stop smoking? And is there a prescription for a cycle on it? It seems to be if we're sitting, this is a general way that people stop. Why don't we even charge them more for it? Just a question.
Well, I don't know if we're charging them more in terms of our policies to tax tobacco and to tax marijuana. So I guess this in my mind is a budget mechanism also more than that. There are other things that can go into so that it gets as I understand it. I'm not the clinician, so I don't know about this. I do know that it's very hard to get anything more harmful than a cigarette. That is like the ultimate most toxic thing that you can do. in terms of smoking. So if e-cigarettes are a better alternative for some people, you know, I can see why they might choose it, as long as they absolutely could. One of the things that happens is people do lose, or maybe the nicotine levels are higher, they're quite high as they even know. And as we said earlier, they're currently no FDA regulation.
Next, I'm
going to invite
Terrence Robbins, who's from
Gina,
followed by Kristen Cox, who's also
going to be. Welcome. Well, thank you for having me here. Terrence Robbins from Fishman, Alaska. According to the Surgeon General, Surgeon General, 47% year increase in the retail price of a pack of cigarettes. We'll see a 7% decrease in youth smoking rates. This has been proven in studies worldwide. It's pretty universal. Regarding e-cigarettes as a cessation device, I chewed tobacco for 27 years. And I quit using chewing lozenges, which are made by cigarette people. You can buy chewing lozenges in 2 and 4 milligram doses. So you start out at a 4 milligram for 30 days, and then you drop down to a 2 milligram. And over a period of 6 weeks or so, you weed off of it. These cigarettes are sold. A particular brand would have a rack in a store or a gift shop. 0 milligram at the bottom, 4, 8, 16, 24, and 32 milligram. A cigarette has about 18 milligrams of nicotine. So by vaping, you're not weaning yourself off of nicotine. You're just changing the delivery device. And there's a lot of new data right now that says they're completely ineffective. There's no scientific effect whatsoever as a cessation device. And they're also not approved by the FDA as a cessation device. These are our research is down from, it was a survey nationwide. 1.4% of kids were using e-cigarettes in 2011. In Alaska, in 2015, the new one of Alaska, 17.7% of kids were using e-cigarettes in the last 30 days. 27.5% of Alaska teens, ages 12 to 17, used cigarettes or e-cigarettes in the last 30 days.
So, would you like to
kind
of
tie
your comments into the
bullet here? Okay, so basically, yeah, we'll yeah. So, how can this happen? Using e-cigarettes are a nicotine product, just like the kid actually has a marijuana product. And it's by increasing the retail price, you will decrease your throats.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for hearing my testimony. Excuse me. My name is Dr. Kristen Cox, and I'm practicing naturopathic doctor in Alaska since 2001. I'm here representing myself, and also I'm a mother of a preteen. Here to support the governor's bill 133 to increase tobacco taxes. In 2014, the state of Alaska collected $66.9 million in tobacco taxes, and we have master settlement payments into that, it was $100 million. However, the cost of smoking in the state of Alaska is $600 million. So, you know, the costs far outweigh the revenue that we are taking in. And this is not our underestimate because it doesn't include the effects of secondhand smoking. So this amounts to $20 per pack of cigarettes purchased in the state of Alaska in costs. I mean, the math doesn't add up to me, and it's, you know, irresponsible for the state to essentially be subsidizing the tobacco industry by paying this much for tobacco-related costs. We know that when you increase cost of tobacco, it decreases youth rates, and with the quote from a document from Philip Morris from 1981 titled Safe Smoking and Excessive. It says tax on cigarettes. So it says, in any event, if for whatever reason, it is clear that price has a pronounced effect on the smoking prevalence of teenagers, and that the goals of reducing teenage smoking and balancing the budget would both be served by increasing the federal excise tax on cigarettes. And it follows up by saying that it is quite possible that a cohort of young smokers who never begin to smoke as a result of the tax increase would never become regular smokers. As a consequence, over a period of several decades, aggregate smoking and its associated detrimental health effects would decline substantially. So we're saving money, by preventing people from smoking, youth from smoking, and it's going to continue saving us money for decades when those youth don't become smokers.
Thank you for your testimony, Dr. Cox. Could you provide the committee with the backup information from the study that you mentioned about the costs of our smoking
controlling? This is the Prevention and Control Program by DHS Technology, DHS Data and Numbers, and
Thank you.
Thank
you. I'm going to try again. Go to the AMFLIO and again, on March 17th.
Thank you, Senator. I'll tell them a little bit about the community. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Great. I'm the Executive Director of American Women's Association in Alaska, and I am being justified in support of Senate Bill 133. Because of all the factors of youth health care costs and save lives, rabies is the leading preventable cause of death in the United States and in Alaska specifically. And to that effect, there are proven methods for reducing tobacco use and tobacco-related illnesses, such as cancer and heart disease. And increasing tobacco costs in state governments and businesses, millions of dollars of tobacco-related health care costs. So one of the previous speakers mentioned a 10% increase in the price of cigarettes reduces youth smoking by a minimum of 7%, also reduces adult smoking by a minimum of 4%, and for young women by 7%. So why is that? That's because the vast majority of people who smoke want to quit, and if you have more incentive or disincentive,
you're actually taking time away from another lesson. So if there's somebody that perhaps doesn't mention your topic, if you could just briefly discuss that. And if there's any information that you want the committee to know, you can actually send it for us in writing. So next, Isaac Hewell.
Good afternoon, committee members. My name is Dr. Cowell, and I'm called to take the time to help you in the neighbors. I'm here to oppose Bill 133. This will increase my wholesale tax by 100%. I employ 5 people a day, and I have 400 in grants, 200 in insurance monthly. I also support businesses that will be affected. One of the companies, Gas, UPS, USPS, also freight companies such as Carlisle. Our COVID is not something you can be grounded on business by employees will lose their jobs. And the business basic quality is nothing. This tax bill is an unemployment bill from the business industry in Alaska. Businesses such as I one is a small family operated business. We are not big tobacco, we are not big pharmaceutical. In the U.S., smoking is the leading cause of preventable death. And in fact, that within the last few years, it is estimated that 9 million former smokers have reduced or completely eliminated putting heavy smoke and tobacco in the lungs because of the use of vaping products. 5 years ago, I smoked about half and half this year at the day. I will bring in the milk of the morning of medical coffee. It's made everyone on the line because I have a small children and I want to move out for them. I decided to quit. I tried to do some business. Going to the church, I was one of those exactly with very ineffective and ignoring it out of my cravings. And I found vaping. I went on a lot of research. 3 years ago, I opened up my own vape shop. So I had to learn about what's the first shop in town. After this bill was shut down the local shops and forced smokers to struggle. And I did get the right setup. Please do not pass this tax bill for me, my family, and my friends out of business. And force my employees to start relying on state income. Businesses are going to continue to think and order on volume. They want to really do to design this bill and continue to keep profit off my business in the way they do now. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Jeff Coleman, a comment from the Amber Gentleman.
Good afternoon. I would like to pose a quick question for you. Is it the man you ever seen die from lung cancer?
Jeff,
yes,
can
you hear me?
Yeah, you're being a moderate here, I guess, from Senator Meyer.
Can I have any of you work with this woman who died from lung cancer? My uncle Zach passed away at the age of 40. I was about a year old, 8 years old, when I watched my mother going into the bedroom and coming out with bloody bed sheets from the smoking and coughing after she died. When I turned 35, my doctor told me I would not live to see the age of 40. It wasn't my plan, my blood pressure was through the roof. I couldn't breathe, I couldn't sleep. That was the only major way things for me. When I turned 15, I was a skeptical at first. I didn't know what was going to work. But 3.5 years later, I have not touched a cigarette since then. For me to be able to say that is astounding, considering that I was a 2.5 pack day smoker for 20 years. If you impose this tax on the vaping community in Alaska, what is the first thing you will do is just get close to shut down. They will not be able to say this because people will not want to pay the increased cost rent on my other products. That's the bottom line. If you take this away, you're destroying a community of people that work together to support each other, whose the primary goal is to get people off of cigarettes. They work together to help people and live their lives. I went with a meeting last year where one of the members made a statement that the healthcare system in the state of Alaska was on the edge of a fiscal cliff. The senior meeting from the American Lung Association, who spoke earlier, that smoking costs the state of Alaska about $600 million a year. And she also said that increasing the taxes will get people to quit because they want to quit.
okay, I wanted this way, and I thought it would have been so why would you tax what I found that was looking way for me to quit? Why would you get rid of it? Why would you tax that? It's going to get harder for me to achieve. If you really want to help the state and decrease health care costs, you need to support technologies that actually help people quit. But believe me, I've tried the launches, I've tried the taxes, I've tried the strand tax, which makes me sick. None of those things work. They just do not work. And if anything didn't work, we're going to be sitting here talking about it. But it does work, and that's why I'm going to fight so hard to protect it, because it's finally something that works. If you tie it, if you tie it on this industry, you're going to be nothing but harm to it. And we know that, because it's morally irreprehensible to include any increased cost on this product that's helping so many people and saving people's lives. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Yes, there's Jason Jones in Anchorage. If you can keep your testimony for 2 minutes, please pass through somebody other than who's going to watch.
All right, my community committee members, my name is Jason Jones. I'm the owner of Legion Paper in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm a former smoker of 17 years, and after all the testing for cigarette sales, I turned to paper records. After consuming vape products, I can attest to their effectiveness and life-changing benefits to my health and quality of life. I've been smoking so far for 3 years. As a small vape shop owner, I'd like to say that including vape as a price in this tax will not create revenue for the state. I think it will be the exact opposite. Initially, it will drive customers to purchase online rather than a local shop. And money that would have been spent in America would be spent online and be spent out of state. The end result would be that approximately the 20 vape shops in Alaska, locally owned family businesses, will be forced to close their doors. I think the vape shops locally are first line of defense as far as sales to minors. We cover everyone who ever sees any children using vape products. Opening a restaurant has been a dream. And I believe it truly helps people. And it's how I and my employees support their families. I'd like to see the government improve their products for me. I'd like to oppose this tax. Thanks for your consideration.
Thank you. Next, Tom LaCoach, also calling in from Anchorage.
Yes, thank you very much for our testimony. I'd like to testify in support of sin taxes. I just think that you are add deals to the sin taxes in 131, SB 131 and 133. It's fairly clear that fossil fuels are going to cause severe infrastructure decline and process to move our villages off of the Arctic coastline. And I hope that you'll add tax equivalent to the one you have for Costco for the production and consumption of fossil fuels, either crude oil produced or fossil fuel products imported. I would suggest that you take it a little light that there is going to be a benefit for continuing nicotine addiction through vaping that for the maybe a lessened in the amount of 100% cost increase in any product is a lot of their uses. But certainly taxing fossil fuels is one of the set of taxes that we need to add to these bills. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. And now I'm going to go to the alternate testifiers and first start out with Sheriff Garfield.
I've been working with the shop for 20 years, and this is actually the 3 years ago that helped me use vaping. So, I was going to say, I'm still asking for $10 after just as I did so. As soon as we approach the shop, I'm going to go back to smoking. That's the journey of rising papers to expect cigarettes. Was our family online between Trump's arrest and our staff background and employees? But you know, basically, those 20 heavy products are all for businesses who are serving multiple employees unemployed. But you know, the factory and the actually the families and their employees as well. That's a endless point of story for a career in data. But they will have 15 months on the list. Yes, no, she spent so much money on programs and campaigns trying to discourage people from smoking, not just the British workers in the Alaska healthcare system. But what's even in fact, what's going on is she's been proven to be 99% cheaper by public health even. And it works as a viable medical alternative to listen to 10 pounds of cans a day. And any of the remaining bills being our original study for the back for 2011. Other than Christmas, this public has been progressive for any ticket, or these taxes being opened in Alaska. The irony is that the healthcare alternative is greatly decorated. What's next? Keep tax on those mercy rolls at 100%, water purifiers, air filters. That's pretty much what this bill is saying. This works really well. This site is not coming up to show that. This tax application was not accessible for the average Alaskan.
Thank you, Chef. And I'm actually going to go now to the Kenai, Ohio. We have a French servant who's been waiting patiently since 6:16. So, Fred, go ahead and find a testimony. Thank you, left. And we'll come back to Fred if he shows up there. Kenai, Margaret Connolly with the American Baking Association.
Good evening, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Thank you for allowing me to testify. My name is Gregory Conley. I am an exporter and an attorney who has been advocating for sound policies for paper products for approximately 5.5 years. And I quit the products from the hospital. And there are key things that have already been made of the impact of this level of business, but I do want to talk about the public health impacts. Being products and how there is a great debate happening within the public health and respective public health officials in that community. Right now in America, the CDC survey released in September found that for adults who have reported quitting smoking in the past year, 22%, nearly a quarter, are using a probiotic supplement. So whether or not people are proving a smoker is probably using these products, that is what's happening. With regards to youth, the Attorney General of Iowa, Tom Miller, who's been a long time tobacco fellow, one of the first HA in the country to see the tobacco industry in the 90s, he got a brief short summary back in November urging that there should be smart looking at the numbers. Because when you actually look at the number of days per month that these experimenter youths are using the products, you find that only 2% of American youth are actually using paper products on 21st days of the month. And another survey finding 60-80% of youth that have reported missing in the past month report using the non-nicotine product. And so the big number needs to be kept in perspective with the idea of Alaska having approximately a 22% smoking rate.
Thank you. That's it. Alex McDonald with Glasgow Paper. I'm calling for Barrett. Off the internet. As stated earlier, just one of the afternoon,
impacts this by shopping on this this will be impossible to do. People shop online instead of windows outside. This will cripple an industry comprised of small downhill business. Online vendors also lack the ability to check IDs and rely on people's honesty when they already have their age. The industry appears on false cards at the 141 regarding the sales and possession of paper products to minors. People who did not wish to shop online are more likely to return to combustible cigarettes or convenience. This tax would result in hurting small business and restricting consumers' choice of alternatives to tobacco, resulting in more people returning to combustible cigarettes. Thank you again for your time tonight.
Thank you very much. Let's see our Thomas Brown calling in off there from Everett.
Thank you, Ms. Thomas Brown calling in from Everett. I'm for a little bit of free for a number of reasons. Most of which have been already said very early so far, but I'll keep that relatively brief. The reason is not to accept this is tobacco. Also need recognition in other documents, but in particular the public health England, several oral ontology universities of Australia and Maryland, Canada, the Western Federal of the UK, and some of the reviews on toxicology and pharmacology all suggest that it is explicitly that the nicotine is a very healthy alternative to smoking. As everyone in the state, including Senator Stevens and the representative from the American Cancer Association, have taken those up, smoking those down, across the board for every age range, it's an objective good. It is a good thing, and we do all we can to promote this behavior. And number three, as other people have said, I heard that the governor had planning to get out of the union.
the Highway Department compared to other states, especially with our prison systems. There's all kinds of things that need to look for money to pull away, and that's state money. And I would appreciate you to cut 30%, and then I will be glad to start those things about getting you more money, the border fund, sales tax, and income tax, and stuff like that. But you have to cut first. And if we need any money, I guarantee you, you won't cut. Thank you.
Thank you, Brandon. You've got your phone number, so probably give you a call to follow up on some of the things.
I'll call you back.
It looks like we have no one else waiting at any of the doorbells. I just want to make sure that anybody at any time or wishing to testify on Senate Bill 133. Is there anyone else on AFNET wishing to testify? And finally, is there anyone here in general wishing to testify on Senate Bill 133? Okay. Seeing none, public testimony is closed on Senate Bill 133.
Is that we're already spending more on alcohol treatment and prevention than the entire alcohol tax. As you heard earlier, the tax generates about $40 million. Half of it goes into the alcohol treatment and prevention fund, half goes into the general fund. As you can see on this sheet highlighted in corners in the lower right-hand corner, we spend a total of those two fund sources of over $41 million. So it's pretty much a wash. All you take in your taxes, whether it goes in the fund or not, is spent for alcohol treatment and prevention. However, in addition to those costs, the general fund cost centers in the budget, because of alcohol, are substantial. In 2012, we had the battle group do a study using 2010 figures. They combined drug and alcohol, but they don't spread, pull out just the alcohol numbers. $170 million in alcohol-related health care costs. This is to the general fund. $9.5 million for public assistance. $13.5 million for traffic accidents. $156.7 million in GF for the criminal justice and OCR systems of care. Together, that's a $387 million cost center to the general fund from alcohol. That's larger than every department and every budget component except the foundation formula and the Medicaid program. So, who's going to pay for this? What's fair? The fact is, it's not going to be oil companies anymore. Either some of this is going to be paid by user fees, which SB-131 contemplates, or the cost is going to be passed on to all the rest of us as you generate other revenue by either reducing our permanent fund dividends, adding sales tax, adding income tax, or other ways to call back. If you pass this bill, only 10% of this cost center would actually come from the increased alcohol tax. When we take a look at what also is the economic impact, which we've talked about before, just in lost productivity alone to the economic status of Alaska, alcohol is $500 million a year. This is a huge issue. So again, looking at the concrete things back to what the impact on individuals would be. Well, Senator Stevens, if you get a standard drink in your martini, 1.5 ounces, increasing this tax will cost you 15 cents for that drink. If your bartender is generous and you get a 2-ounce drink, you're up to 20 cents. Madam Chair, if you buy your Alaska number in the restaurant, that's going to be 3 cents. And if you buy a Budweiser, it will be 10. If you buy a glass of wine at a restaurant, you'll pay more than 10 cents on that glass of wine. If users don't pay that cost, then all of it will be shifted to those of us that will pay through reduced dividends, income taxes, sales taxes, and other mechanisms. The alcohol tax is one of the fairest taxes to us because you pay relative to your share of the problem. If you don't drink at all, you don't pay a thing. If you drink modestly, you pay very low, and those that drink the most pay the most. Thank you. I hope you sit for the rest of your month.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Next, from another distillery, Bailey Tower. Welcome.
Thank you guys so much for the opportunity to speak. I'm here speaking in opposition to Senate Bill 131. I'm in the process right now of starting a new distillery here in the U.S. It's a really exciting industry, and it's an old industry. In 2003, there were about 40 licensed producers in the country. Now, there's closer to 600, so it is a really, really incredibly quickly growing and strong industry. Another way that you can generate greater tax revenue is by growth, and if you want double tax revenue, I guess you could double the industry. There are a lot of barriers in getting into this industry, a lot of capital barriers, a lot of administrative barriers, the permitting. And then, you know, among other things, it's tax. We've been talking about per-drink tax, but one of the things we have cost per bottle, and we can all be talking about $2.50, almost $4 a bottle in state excise tax, and doubling it would turn it into close to $8 per bottle. And that needs to go someplace, and I pass that on, that cost on. And one of those my business is less cash flow. And it makes it so that I'm less able to compete with other producers from outside of the state. And so, the products that we will be making are premium products. These are $60, $70 bottles of whiskey. These are $35, $40 bottles of gin that are also leveraging other industries, agriculture, and other services within the state. And right now, we are in a place where we need to grow the state of marketing, and this is an industry that's growing quickly. Positive tourism connects agriculture and really helps with the state and the financial state that can. Thank you guys so much for your time.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you coming to testify. Next, Robert McCormick from the Brochure Brewhouse.
Good evening. Thank you, Manager. Many members of the Test for them. My name is Arnold McCormick. I live at Chubut, Alaska. I'm the Director of Finance at Human Resources at Glacier Beer House in Warsaw and Anchorage, downtown Anchorage. I also serve on the Alaska Chart Board and am the Treasurer of the Burson of Alaska. I am concerned for the economy of our seniors, I'm sure you are. And I recognize and appreciate the need to find new sources of revenue for the state. Personally, I believe these sources should be broad-based so that everybody pays their fair share. I also believe that additional income should come from sources where we Alaskans currently pay less than other states and not from sources where we already pay more than average. You've heard the testimony that we already pay some of the highest living taxes in the nation. Probably this just doesn't make any sense. All right, also your testimony and previous speaker about what this will do to the cost of a drink. And as a restaurant guy, I have quite a different opinion. This tax incites the wholesaler. Well, that means the wholesaler who likes to make a 50% markup will probably pass 18 cents cost on to me when I buy that alcohol. So that's going to be 15 cents an ounce. A standard pour of a martini is 3 ounces. That means that martini is going to cost me 45 cents per ounce more to make. In the restaurant industry, we have a very high cost of labor, and therefore our cost of goods sold is typically lower. A typical restaurant will run 20% or less cost of goods on alcohol. If I can maintain that margin and that drink costs me 45 cents more to make, I've got to charge the customer $2.25 to maintain that 20% average. So the expense and the cost goes up. Everybody's going to have their markup on that tax as it goes through. It doesn't go through the straight rate. I also want to express my concern that if we put this tax in effect, it will push more sales to the internet. It will push people that are traveling outside of the state to load suitcases up with alcohol. And there's a whole mess that we're going to be able to sell and make as brewers. Lastly, I want to keep this short. Brewing in Alaska is one of the few manufacturing industries that are growing in Alaska. When we opened 20 years ago, there were less than a half dozen brewers in the state. Today, there are 20-something. There's 25 currently brewing. We've grown this industry without incentives that other industries have asked for. We've gotten from the state. We don't get tax credits or exploration, like some we can explore beer sales, but we don't get a tax credit for that. And we're currently paying some of the highest rates in the nation. Only in our industry, and that's something we just can't afford to do if we're going to build strong industry instead.
Thank you very much. Marcy. Next, Marcy Larson with the Alaska Brewing Company. Here in general. Welcome, Marcy.
Thank you. I'm chairperson. I'm chairperson of the committee. Thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is Marcy Olson. I'm a co-founder of Larson Brewing Company, along with my husband Jeff and 88 investors. We started 30 years ago. It was a small little brewery and have grown since then. And are happy to see so many new breweries and wineries and distilleries joining us. This is all an industry, which is wonderful. I'm here to speak against 131 due to, I believe, its unintended consequences. This bill really is about the hospitality industry. There's so many people that are affected by the hospitality industry, and this bill directly hits that entire industry, not just us as producers, but all of the people in between. Just as this report before we stated, the tax is exponential. So every single step along the way, the tax gets raised. The price gets higher. That includes our own city sales tax. They don't raise it by 3 cents. They raise it by 5%. It's all on percentages, so it all keeps going up. I feel that the extreme nature of the doubling of the tax will affect the health of the hospitality industry, and they'll get no longer hospitable. We sell some of our beer, Larson beer, in the lower 48. So I've had a chance to see what excise taxes and other states are like. And it's interesting, and it's kind of frustrating, but you can buy Alaskan beer and drink it in Oregon for the same price that you can buy it here. If we raise the taxes that much, you will be able to purchase it in Oregon less than you will be able to purchase it here right where it's made. That's a direct hit to our consumers here. The alcohol tax down there for the state is 8 cents. The case is 2.25 barrels, so 16 cents to them. If we raise our taxes to 70 cents, that's going to be $1.40 a case. It covers all the shipping plus a lot of things. So it's just very frustrating to me to see it less expensive in another locale than right here. And to me, that makes the hospitality industry not hospitable. I'd like to propose that. We do not raise those extreme levels and continue to be competitive with other areas so that we can keep our hospitality industry strong.
Thank you, Marcy. Next, Sasan Rasani from Valley Brewing Company. And I'll ask Gary Superman, followed by Kristen Miles.
My name is Sasan Rasani. It's spelled S-A-S-S-A-N. I'm the S-S.
and Ian. I am a founding member of an Allen Brewing Company and managing member for some of manager and community members. Thank you for giving us the time to testify before you all. I'm speaking in opposition of Senate Bill 131. In an effort to keep it brief, I'll give you a quick history of it so that you know what we're doing our way. We were founded in 2009. Talk United is located in the Boston Borough, about 100 miles north of Cambridge. Our first batch of beer was made by myself and another founding partner. In the last 7 years, we have grown from 2 employees to roughly 27 year-round employees. We have gone from brewing a 1,000 square foot facility to a 30,000 square foot facility. When we have access to our capital, we reinvest it back in Alaska. Our number one product, as proud as I am, isn't our beer, it's our employees. We have put more people to work in Talkeetna than any other business. We're the largest employer in Talkeetna. We're the largest consumer of energy in Talkeetna. And it's something that we take a tremendous amount of pride in. When we have money, we reinvest it back into our community, into our employees. One of the concerns that I have with the unintended consequences of raising taxes or making anything prohibitive, whether through regulation or increasing prices, people will figure out a way to get their alcohol. Unlike some of the other substances that are out there, there are people who are not scrupulous about how they produce alcohol. And as much money as we take in our product, there's folks who can make alcohol. And my past system history is proven that when you create a prohibitive state for folks to operate in a legal way, they will come and circumvent the system by making homebrew and not only reducing the amount of revenue you get, but letting people drink products that are of lower quality. Typically a higher ABV in producing places that are not locally produced. There's a lot of information being thrown out there with the cost of what it means to have the consumption of alcohol in our communities. I would propose that to create mental health, you need to have people enfranchised and engaged in their community. When you create a prohibitive state where people hide, it makes it harder to keep track of who's consuming what. As we go through prohibition, people drink more. The cost to all areas of our communities were increased through just the need to police and enforce, all the way to the consequence of drinking poorly paid alcohol beverages. In addition, I'm going to finish with an opportunity that was provided to us through the state of Alaska's Economic Development and the U.S. federal government's Economic Development Program. We were approached in the spring of last year to engage and try to determine how we can increase Arctic commerce. As a result, we collaborated with a brewery in Norway to try to see what we could do to further the economic benefits of alcoholic beverages produced in the state. I encourage this committee to consider creating an exemption for wineries and distilleries that the breweries have here to produce filtrate. Their products are more shelf-stable than the breweries, and the benefit that comes from creating Arctic commerce has even been discussed in terms of what it could do for further job creation. Thank you again for the time.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony. Next, Gary Zuckerman. Welcome, Gary.
Thank you. Gary Zuckerman, who's a sales in Kiski, Alaska. The owner, as well as my wife, of the Bar Hotel Liquor Store. I happen to sit on the Tara board. I spoke to SB 148, I believe, Saturday, and kind of took the small business impact on that piece of legislation. I'm going to take a little bit different tack tonight, in that I'm a carpenter, builder, did that all my life, and
spent the last third of my life building our business. We did the bar of a liquor store, opened a liquor store 3 years ago. We did the motel. I consider myself to be strictly blue-collar, working class person, which really is the neighborhood I live in. So folks that get $130,000, $140,000, $150,000 a year, not much more. They buy their own piece of property, build their own homes, cut firewood. And so what I see here with the governor's package, I certainly don't put the onus on the legislature itself, because these proposals have come forward from the governor, is what I see here is an assault on the blue-collar working class and the standard class at this point. When you talk about doubling the alcohol taxes, to this demographic, a guy who gets off of work, has been scrubbing tanks, has been pounding nails, who has been rolling pipe, comes to the store, buys himself a six-pack. We're talking about extrapolating just on the beer alone in a year's time, $400 to $500 in this increase in taxes. If you combine it with the increase in the cigarette tax, if you smoke a pack of cigarettes a day, that's another $300-$400 that you're taking out of his livelihood over the year. You couple those with the governor's permanent fund proposals, and you're talking about a significant portion of the working class's disposable income in the state of Alaska. And I'm seeing, beginning to see what's happening now with the price of oil. We're starting to see the ill effect on the peninsula of the layoffs. People wondering what they're going to do. They're wondering now, are we going to see a repeat of 86, 87, where it's going to be extremely difficult with the specter of mass migration out of the state? It very well happen unless the Saudis decide to turn the state off and we're left in the lurch. But we pay more than our fair share in the industry. The source of the working class and their taxes in this state. So if you're looking for any kind of new revenue stream, I suggest that you look elsewhere for the sake of fairness, actually who is paying more taxes in the state. Some of these proposals that I've heard lately from the anti-sinning professionals and their numbers, the legislature scrutinizes these numbers there. In 2002, this one has these cases that we're spending $500 million a year on alcohol-related effects. This year, I'm getting anywhere from $1.3 billion, I'm going to suggest you just cited about $300 million, $360 million, three different numbers here. They deserve to be scrutinized, and in fact, they're not even relevant to this because this is strictly a proposal from the governor who at least does not have a pretense saying that this is something that we need to do to address a social problem. He's strictly doing this to raise money, and it's totally unfair. We're already paying our fair share in the state. So thank you very much.
Thank you for this morning.
After Chris and I are going to head to the SIP at LIO, we've got one person who wants to just stay there. So. Now, consumer makes less money each time they purchase marketing.
While the senator is aware of the tax situation and being adjusted in spending so the server isn't punished, your average patient will probably not be excited, but to the buffer zone, the server is losing on an individual time scale. Now we're punishing business owners, responsible consumers, and employees. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your testimony.
Rick Armstrong and Cisco, can you hear us? Rick, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes.
Good, thanks. Hi, we're coming from the Journal of the Brain Company of
Thank you. resources to reduce the harm caused by alcohol consumption throughout the state. I'm here to support SB 131. Increasing the existing alcohol tax will generate much needed revenue for the many public services that rely on the state general fund. In this way, the tax functions as a revenue diversification strategy while also supporting long-standing public health and safety objectives. In response to the strategic proposal from the governor, I'll also bring up that in the consequences, which are all of the health benefits of reducing the negative impact for alcohol, this will save money. The cost of alcohol will be used for lessons and healthcare costs for cash flows. The reducing of alcohol effects is up to $1.2 billion in 2010, and that is using those resources to get in the health benefits. Beyond the financial benefits, increasing alcohol tax will also save lives, improve the health of our babies, and reduce underage drinking. On 1883 and 2002, statewide alcohol tax increases were followed by 29% and 11% decreases in the number of alcohol-related deaths. Alcohol tax is working hard to reduce the incidence of binge drinking during pregnancy, decreasing the conflict of alcohol syndrome, and also to significantly reduce youth alcohol consumption. This is important. Youth who drink before age 15 are 5 times more likely than youth who don't drink until they're 21 to develop alcohol abuse dependence than adults. There goes the cost again. Increases the state excise tax on alcohol is recommended by Surgeon General of the Institute of Medicine, the American Medical Association, and the Community Prevention Tax Services Task Force. The research indicates that increased alcohol excise taxes are directly related to decreased alcohol-related deaths, traffic crashes, violence, crime, and child abuse. To sum up, the negative impact of alcohol abuse costs the state over $1 billion a year. Increasing alcohol taxes will help deliver fiscal gap by reducing those impacts and generating revenue. Also, alcohol plays a significant role in the leading causes of death, violence, and crime in Alaska. Increased alcohol taxes will decrease consumption. Please save all criminalizing and have SB 131. Thank you for this opportunity and thank you for your service to our state.
Thank you. Mark Staples.
Hi, thank you for your time. My name is Mark Staples. I'm the president and founder of the Red Zone Brewing Company in Anchorage, Alaska, just as good. The Red Zone Brewing Company opened in 1995. It was the second oldest brewery in Alaska. That was mentioned before. Alaska now has something like 25 breweries or so. My brewery employs over 50 employees and we store beer in Alaska, Washington, Oregon, California, New York, and most recently in Hawaii. I've also finished Super Bowl for 20 years and it's been very exciting to be part of the success in all the jobs and overall economic impact that this industry has had. Sadly, this industry is now at a juncture with the matters that this growth could cease. And it's got a whole industry to become and have somewhat of peril if this acts so far. I went to the governor's presentation on this bill, and I noticed on page 11 he has all the proposals he calls he's proposing on page 11. And if you look at that list, I found it very interesting to tell me that along with huge industries, fishing, mining, et cetera, tobacco, fuel, the proposed increase on the alcohol tax is, if you show the proposed state, you can get a side, a lot of those people will bear a better rights, tax industry with this new legislation. And to me, that just seems really not fair and taking targeting one industry over many others that are out there. This bill is bad for the industry, the burn industry in particular, also the other allied industry and the other communities that support these burns. Please do not support this bill. And in closing, just I realize the daunting task that's ahead of this committee in terms of trying to deal with fiscal crisis. So I appreciate all the hard work you've done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, I want to invite Tom Bashar, who's here in Yale, to ask the behavioral health. Welcome. And then I'll ask Pam Watts to come forward, followed by Michael Stilwantes.
Thank you, Senator Fussell. My name is Tom Char. I am the executive director of the Alaska Behavioral Health Association. I appreciate the time this evening to speak to you in support of SB 131. We basically heard a lot of things, so I'm going to keep it short. It's a little bit of the benefits we want toward the end of the list. Department of Revenue projected $40 million in new revenue for this proposal. I heard a lot of the businesses and folks speak about the impact on not opposed to companies referred to tonight or against responsible consumption. But as the first speaker, Jeff Jesse, pointed out earlier, ultimately the tax increase lands with the consumer and their relative consumption. So I'm hoping that this will minimize and mitigate the impact on business. We also know that this tax increases revenue to help fund address our budget shortfall, decreases the costs associated with problem treating, and raises much needed revenue for our prevention treatment efforts. Several studies show the link between increasing alcohol tax and reduced consumption and reduced problem drinking, particularly among youth. Several speakers spoke about that earlier, so I'm not going to go into that and get into that. We also heard reference to the Donald Report. They studied the cost impact on Alaska, $1.2 billion on our system. These are losses in productivity, traffic accidents, health, and social services. And last year, lastly, up in Anchorage, a group came together to talk about alcohol and drug treatment options. Last night, a similar group came together, about 400 people, from what I understand, to talk about how the 14,000 detox beds in Anchorage could serve a population of 300,000. This tax does increase revenue, decrease costs, and raise the capital we need for our efforts. So, with that, I appreciate your support of SB 131. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Dan?
Good evening. My name is Pamela Watts. I'm a general resident and I'm a member of the Alaska Behavioral Health Association. I've worked in the behavioral health field for over 30 years, and I can attest to the damage that alcohol has caused individuals, families, and our communities, and the cost to the state. Over time with gap funding, we've lost ground on the availability of services to treat these problems. Access to treatment, detox, has been reduced. Treatment costs money, but without treatment resources to help people become healthy and productive tax-paying citizens, we spend even more money on public safety, court costs, prisons, and spiraling health care costs to deal with the consequences of loss of access to treatment. Alaska has the distinction of being, in my opinion, the most beautiful place on earth. Sadly, we also have the distinction of being first in the nation, or in the top, in alcoholism, alcohol-related deaths, fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, alcohol-related domestic violence, rape, and suicide. We need to change those numbers, and it takes money. An alcohol excise tax will help us address the current fiscal gap and support healthy Alaskans and communities. Please
support
SB 131. Thank you for your time and your work. Thank you. Next, Michael Cervantes with the Blake's Hill House.
Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is Michael Cervantes. I'm the owner and operator of the Mental Health in Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm also still on the Alaska Tour Board. Tonight I want to keep my case that we're not considering SB 131. As you've heard already many times from other industry individuals, but ill health, I'm running over your restaurant, and a big franchisor in Osceola, and I work with 15 different breweries here in Alaska. But my primary source of revenue for our bar is working with our local breweries. I work with 15 of them, and some distributors up to me in Fairbanks. I don't work with the 25 that we talk about. But, you know, to the point that there's a ripple effect that's going to happen from this bill being passed. As it was stated earlier, brewing beer in Alaska costs our craft brewers more money. Well, as you said before, they're going to charge a little bit more. My insurance is going to charge me a little bit more. And my 35 employees at this point in time, though I'm a really large restaurant, but in the day, I have to push that task off onto my consumers. They're not going to frequent my facility. They're going to come somewhere else, which makes me then have to consider looking outside of the state breweries and find other breweries that are going to cost me millions of dollars because they don't have the same financial impact that we have here in Alaska. So please bring it to consider sponsoring SB131 and look out for us on smallholders.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Next, I'm going to go to the Cognac Audio and the Carbon Levy, the Cognac chart.
Good evening, gentlemen. A beautiful Cognac being a Cognac. And thanks for having my guest tonight. I'm speaking a guest of Fatbill 131. I am director of Cognac Jar. When my liquor industry was passed once again some years ago, I thought at the time I would never ever live long enough to see another proposal to drop tax on alcohol. I was wrong because you're Miller. But gas rate at that time was so high, I believe around 300%, that we became by far the highest tax rate on alcohol in the United States. Today, we are still paying the highest alcohol tax in the nation with a couple of small exceptions. The industry already contributes heavily to the state's tax base, somewhere around $40 million per year, and the hospital industry should not have been able to have some tax on top of the existing high taxes already imposed. Except we do not believe you should be looking at the hospitality industry for more money. You are probably aware, I hope I'm not repeating something that you are aware of, that we pay 28 per gallon of spirits right now, while the national average is 4.5. If the euro per gallon of beer and wine, we pay 2.50 tax per gallon of wine, and the national of 83 cents per gallon, and the good dollar starts on every gallon of beer, while the national average is 28 cents. I believe the tax proposal is for him to the bill. Ours will double the tax and would bring the tax on a gallon of spirits to $25.60. A gallon of wine is $5 and a gallon of beer is $2.14. I consider these proposals outrageous. These numbers include us from 5.7 to 7.6 times the national average. It's time to start looking at the limited sector industry for more taxes when we are paying more than our fair share and then some already. I am fully aware of the $3.5 billion deficit and feel other avenues should be explored, especially since the government spent heavily within the tax cuts for oil. I'm also in favor of state lottery, which seems to work well for other states, and I think would create a deal of money into the state coffers. And while I know this has nothing to do with alcohol taxes, I am greatly opposed to touching the permanent fund. Thank you for your time. Alcohol uses a risk factor for a host of negative behaviors and experiences. Sadly, used Alaska in 2009 to consume 17.9% of alcohol sold in the state that year. The Surgeon General and the Institute of Medicine both advocate specifically for increases in alcohol excise taxes in the age of 18 to underage drinking. Alcohol tax has been documented in public health benefits to adults as well. They actually significantly reduce the alcohol mortality rate and the incidence of binge drinking during pregnancy. The proposed alcohol tax does more than contribute to our state's budget solution. It can also help encourage drinking indicators moving in the right direction, reduce deaths caused by alcohol and obesity, all while encouraging cost reduction, juvenile justice, and health care. So we strongly support SB131. Thank you for your time.
This is our next Jim Palmer. Paul worked with the Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse.
Good evening. My name is Paul Wick. I am the chair of the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse. My first year on behalf of the Board Board and the Department Board of Alcoholism and Drug Abuse, we have provided written comments that will generally be received in support of SB131. My comments to you are urged to consider SB131 as part of a comprehensive effort to address our budget deficit. SB131 is not a standalone tax bill targeting a single ministry. It's really part of a larger effort to reduce spending, increase revenue, and contain costs through reform. In the Senate House before you, there were several efforts to contain costs in criminal justice, as well as the healthcare sectors. There was an effort to depend upon a robust and effective behavioral health treatment system in order to achieve the hook for savings. These systems are necessary. The SB131 gives the ability to generate the revenue needed to maintain access to substance abuse treatment and prevention efforts, as well as other public health and safety services. I'm also the board chair for 5-2. The local Substance Abuse Prevention Coalition here in Bentonville, and our membership at today is Dr. Revolution, also in support of this bill. So tonight, on behalf of the Advisory Board of Alcoholism and Drug Abuse, our partner board, the Office of Mental Health Board, and diagnosing our Substance Abuse Prevention Coalition, which all three have very large, robust meetings, we encourage you to support us meeting on the event, and that's a great committee. Thanks.
Thank you. And next, who's been, this interview's been waiting since 5:45. I'm calling in from the Palm Sound area. Jim Sack with Alpine Inn. Jim?
Yes, my name is Jim Sack. I am from the Alpine Inn in Southern Nevada for 30 years. And I've been making a problem with this. And we put 131 down here. And the first thing I need to address is the Section 3 of the bill. It includes retailers in this section. I don't understand why a retailer is involved with this tax. It's already going to be given to somebody else prior to us getting it. So I need to see if that is going to be something that's going to stay in this bill or something that's going to be addressed. The next thing is, I don't know if you guys understand, but I'm going to have a $40.58 increase per case of any distilled beverage. Right now, at this point, it's constantly down to be about $1,200 per week for my excess tax that I'm going to have to pay on my beer and alcohol. And I have to front that money out of my pocket up front. I only see it until the stuff is sold. And I feel the private industry, which is the alcohol business, and trying to support state funding. I had listened to most of these people for about an hour and a half for taking on both ways on this thing, and I have some real issues about the mental health stuff, to give away $1 billion to $10 billion every year, we're going to have to start cutting the amount of money we're going to be asking you guys, because you will spend your own money. And I'm not trying to say that they send it up to our home. And at this point right now, I think you need to reconsider how you're going to get the funding from us, the people who are massive, the public, to try to collect that. But everybody else on the line is going to be taxing me on top of the tax that you're going to get for them. So at the end of the whole thing, it's not going to be $5 a beer, it's going to be $7 a beer by the time we get this thing. So I think you need to reconsider this and look at other sources to find the private company. Thanks.
Thank you, Jim. Is there anyone here in Juno who might be testifying on Senate Bill 131? Is there anybody at an LIO or off-net that would like to testify? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close public testimony on Senate Bill 131. And I want to thank everyone who provided testimony. Many of the individuals arrived before 6 p.m. this evening, and then others actually stayed to listen to the reading of the testimony. I think that speaks volumes for Alaskans in general. Really are concerned about the future and want to make sure that we take a good close look at this bill. So, any questions from committee members? Our next meeting is Thursday on Friday, and then we'll have another evening on public testimony on the governor's proposed income tax. So, that brings our committee's here.